I would like to read a passage tonight in the Gospel by John, chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now we know that God always promises to bless the public reading of his word, the Bible. And all that we want to say about it tonight is, of course, based upon what is said in the Bible. Now the message of the gospel is really a simple message. I suppose the danger is that we make it complicated. But we have been singing tonight, Tell Me the Story Simply. And we trust that God will help us to just simply tell this story as it is, the story of salvation. Now the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking in this chapter, he was speaking to some of the leading men of the nation into which he himself had been born. He was, by birth, a Jew. Of course we know, and the Bible teaches it very plainly and clearly, that he had a unique birth, a birth that was different from the birth of any other, because he had come from heaven. We have sung this tonight in our meeting. He came from the mansions of glory. He came from heaven. And when he was born, a unique and amazing thing took place. A virgin brought forth a child. And so, he is the only man in this world that ever lived who had a different nature to other men. His was not a sinful nature. You see, dear friend, when we think of the subject of sin, Sin is in this world because it entered into the world. And it entered at the beginning of this world's history. God created a man, placed him in that wonderful garden that he had first prepared, gave him a wife. I'm sure you've heard the story before that we speak of as the fall of Adam, when Adam and his wife Eve disobeyed the voice of God, and that day they were put out from the presence of God. But even before they were put out from the presence of God, the moment that they disobeyed the voice of God, they themselves became sinful, and their nature was stained with sin. And everyone who has been born since then is a sinner. And they're a sinner not because they practice sin, but they are sinners because they have the nature they were born with. They were born sinners. We sometimes hear preachers say, I often say it myself, that you are not a sinner because you sin, but you sin because you are a sinner. You see, you could see a tree, and that tree you may understand by observation and by the leaves and so on, that it is a particular type of tree. And you know the fruit that that tree will bear. But if there is some blight on it, it may not at that time be producing fruit. But it doesn't alter the fact that it has the nature of that sort of tree. And we were born into this world different from Christ. None of us were born that way, the way that he was born. We have a nature that we inherited from our parents. I thank God for the memory of my parents. It was at my mother's knee, as a boy of 8, that I knew that I was a sinner. And I bowed my knee one Monday morning there and took Christ as my Savior. I said on that occasion, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. Now, I was only a boy, but the moment I learned that I was a sinner, and that Christ on the cross gave that sinless, only sinless life that ever has been lived upon earth, gave it as a sacrifice for sin, and that God accepted that sacrifice, I was saved. I was born into this world a sinner. And I got that nature from my human parents. But that moment that I trusted the Savior, I was born again. Now, friend, tonight, that's the message we've come to preach to you. Jesus said to a man who was religious, a man who knew his Bible perhaps better than any of us would know it. He knew the Old Testament part of it anyway. The New Testament hadn't been written then. But you know what Jesus said to him? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The poet just paraphrased that, and he said this, ye must be born again if you would enter heaven. 'Tis only blood bought, ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. If you want to be in heaven, friend, you need to be born again. If you live the way that you were born, and if you die the way that you were born, your soul will be in hell. Now, that's a solemn thing to say in a gospel meeting, but it is true. And you know, I hear people today, sometimes they say, we don't mind hearing about heaven because we believe in it. But we don't believe that a righteous God would ever consign those he loves to hell. Maybe you haven't known this. But if you read the Bible, you will find that Jesus, the Son of God, when he came, he spoke far more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. Now, just read your Bible for yourself, and you'll find that. There is more reference from the lips of Christ to the place of eternal judgment than there is to the place of eternal blessing. So this message is very important for us to preach tonight. It's not just another Sunday evening service. This meeting is held, it is conducted, so that you might hear the good news. You say, well, that's not very good news, to be told that I'm a sinner. But you know, if you go to the doctor, if you go to hospital, and you find that there is, and they find, maybe by their investigation, that there is some disease infiltrating one of those perhaps vital organs of your body, they want to treat you. It may involve surgery, may be complicated, may be days of surgery. You don't want to have that. But when he explains what's happening, and he tells you of your danger, then you're prepared to submit, because it's your only hope of recovery. And friend, tonight, that's the whole point about talking to you at the beginning of this meeting tonight, about sin and judgment. We need to know our need. Christ spoke about that need. But mind you, I would not dare to come up the steps of this platform tonight to preach, if the only message that I had to preach was a message of judgment or a message about sin. But thank God, God has provided the answer. And the message of the gospel is good news, because it's God's answer for sin. Wouldn't you like to have your sins forgiven? To know that when you put your head upon your pillow tonight, that all is well between your soul and God. It's a very real thing. You could perhaps, friend, tonight be living your last day upon earth. I could. None of us know that. But I'm prepared. That day, as a boy of 8, settled the issue for me. Have you had that issue settled? Settled. Is your soul saved? This is old-fashioned preaching, but that's what is preached here anyway. It's the only message to meet a sinner's need. The fact that Christ has died, and God, the God against whom we have sinned, is satisfied with the work that he did upon the cross. Jesus spoke to the leaders of that nation. He described them, now listen carefully, he described them under the figure of a sheepfold. We read it together tonight. And he said in that opening verse, those who he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but if he climbs up some other way, he's just like a thief or a robber. What he was really talking about was this. Are you listening? God had promised, away in the Old Testament, God had promised he was going to send someone to meet the need of the nation of Israel. The Jew in the days of Jesus Christ, when he was born, at that time, they were waiting for this deliverer. They would have called him the Christ, the sent one, the one that God was going to send, the anointed one. Mark you, we said here in this hall today already, what is perfectly true. Most of those Jews did not fully understand their own Bible at that time. And most of them thought that when this deliverer would come, he would deliver them from the bondage they were held in politically. They had political bondage imposed upon them by the Roman Empire. And they were looking for this sent one to deliver them from that. But dear friend, what they didn't realize is maybe what you haven't thought about too much yet. I don't know. They didn't realize that the greatest bondage in this world is not imposed from outside. The greatest bondage is in the human heart. It's the shackle of sin that is imposed by the power of Satan. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, we have a message that preaches this. The hymn writer framed it in these words. He said, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. That means that sin was cancelled on the cross, but it's only effective for those who trust Christ. And he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. And I can tell you this, friend, tonight, I know only some of the friends here tonight, superficially, because I met them all yesterday. But I'm quite sure that if I went round these seats and asked certain people to tell their story tonight, they would tell you that they have been delivered from the power of sin. And they could tell you, just like I can tell you, of a definite experience when they were saved. And you're only going to heaven if you've had that experience. You need to be saved. You need to be freed from the bondage of sin. And Christ came to do it. And he came to the nation of Israel. Now we're not going to go down that story tonight of John 10. But I introduce it because I want to get to one verse to speak about for about a quarter of an hour. And that verse is number 10. And in number 9 rather. And in number 9 we find that the Lord Jesus takes up this matter of the door. He's been talking about coming in. But then he shows in fact that there's a door of salvation, a door of freedom from the bondage of sin. And he tells us in this verse, he says, I am the door. And the first thing I want you to notice with me tonight is something that we have briefly alluded to. It tells us this, that the gospel story, this good news that we have come to tell, the gospel is the gospel, first of all, of divine authority. Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. Now you may not see much significance in that, but I want to draw your attention to it, just for a moment. Those first two words, I am, are in the Bible a divine title that speaks of God himself. One day Moses, that great leader of Israel, God was going to send him to use him to deliver the nation from the power of Egypt in their early days. And Moses was very fearful. And he said to God, but if I go to the leaders of our nation and I say that it's me, they will laugh me to scorn. They will not accept me. And God said, I've got a message for them. You give them this message. Listen to what he said. God said to Moses, it sounded a very strange message. God said to him, say to the leaders of the nation, I am that I am hath sent me. I suppose you use this language in Australia like we do in England. Sometimes if someone is making themselves very important and we don't like it, we say, he thinks he's the great I am. I'm for sure you use that expression in Australia. The great I am. There's only one great I am. He's the God of eternity. It's a word, it's a term that describes the ever-present one. There never was a time. Now I've got a problem in trying to talk about eternity in the terms of time. But God has always been there. He's the I am. And God said to Moses, tell them, I am that I am hath sent me. Now what I want you to see is, in this wonderful Gospel of John, we find that this term is constantly being used by Jesus Christ about himself. The lowly Nazarene who lived at Nazareth, he said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the bread of life. He said in this verse, I am the door. And I won't go through them all tonight, but he's constantly using this term about himself. And then one day he said to those same religious leaders these words. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now that doesn't make grammatical sense. Your teacher of English would criticize that. But it's very good scriptural sense. He is the God who always was from eternity. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ came from an eternal throne. We preach to you tonight, friends, a gospel of divine authority, that God came down into this poor world of sin. No one else could save. Moses could never have saved that nation. God used him to deliver them from the physical power of Egypt, but Moses could not die for sinners, for Moses was a sinner. And so was Abraham. And so was Jacob, and Elijah, and Elisha, and all those great men. They were all sinners. The preacher was a sinner. The wisest man apart from Christ that was in this world, you know his name, King Solomon. One day he stood when the temple was built. It was finished. He raised his hands in prayer and dedicated it. And in that wonderful dedicatory prayer, this is what he said. There is no man that hath not sinned. And the great apostle Paul wrote doctrinally in the New Testament these words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ came to save sinners. Listen to what the apostle wrote in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying. and worthy of all acceptation that Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's the gospel of divine authority. But look again at that verse. This is what it says. I am the door. This message tonight is the gospel of the greatest simplicity. It might be the gospel of divine authority, but it's the gospel of the greatest simplicity. The youngest in our meeting tonight, they know what a door is. They know what it looks like. And they know what it's used for. One man in the Old Testament realized he was getting near to eternity, to the end of his life, and he said this, there is but a step between me and death. I want to tell you tonight, friend, that's true. There is but a step between your soul and death. Only a breath that keeps you from God's great eternity to meet God and to meet judgment. For the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. But listen, I'm glad to tell you in this wonderful message of the gospel tonight, there's but a step between your soul and life. For Jesus said, I am the door. And all you have to do is to go in through a door. It's the simplest message that can be told. God doesn't ask you. You see, I believe this, that if God had said, if you can amass so many thousands, I mustn't say pounds tonight, of dollars, and you could gather this money and give them to a certain cause, you would be sure of heaven. There are men and women in Australia tonight who would pay that price, just to be sure. But God has not made it difficult. God has made it simple. Now please don't you think that the gospel is cheap. The gospel is free, but the gospel is not cheap. It cost God's own son, the darling of his heart, he gave him. For God so loved the world, says that wonderful verse, John 3:16 of the gospel by John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the gospel of the greatest simplicity. A step, and you can be saved tonight. A step of faith. But then I want you to notice in this verse, it goes on to say this. I am the door. By me. And that tells me this, that the gospel is the gospel of exclusive dignity. It's restricted to one man and one man alone. Now, friend, we don't preach a gospel. Are you listening to this now? We don't preach a gospel. We don't preach a message that gives options. There's only one Savior for sinners. Listen to what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said it. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The great apostle, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter, he said this. As he preached, he looked at that great throng of Israelites and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Christ alone can save you tonight. I once went to preach in a prison, a big prison in Scotland, 400 men. And you know, they were taught choruses every Sunday by the man who ran this class amongst them. And I listened to 400 men sing that word, Christ is the answer to your every need. It impressed me. It's many years ago now. But there they sang those words. And I wondered as I looked at their faces. I knew some of them had got saved through that man's preaching. Christ is the only answer to your need tonight. He says, by me. It's the gospel of exclusive dignity. But listen again now. For Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man. This is the gospel for all humanity. It's the gospel for all humanity. If any man. I have preached this gospel for years now in the United Kingdom. In virtually every part of it. I haven't traveled to many countries, but when I have been in other places, I've had the privilege of going to some different countries. You know, friend, I've never had to change
any part of this message, it applies to all. It's the gospel for all humanity. I'm reminded of a story I like to tell sometimes. I'm going to tell it to you now briefly. There was a very great man of God that lived in the British Isles. Some of you may remember his name. His name was Mr. Harold St. John. Mr. St. John one day was visiting friends in the south of England. These friends were wealthy people, they were titled people. And he stayed with them for some weeks. And one day they said, "We have a special visit coming today," or maybe they told him the day before. They said, "We have a royal family coming to see us. One of the crowned heads of Europe," this is many years ago. It wasn't an official visit, they were friends of theirs. And they were coming to visit them. Well, the day arrived. That morning there was a bustle in the house as they were preparing for these very special visitors. And Mr. St. John decided, it was a lovely sunny day, such as you've had here today. It was the summer in England, and he went for a walk down the lane. And he left them all getting ready in the house. And when he got down the lane, he saw an old tramp. You know, he had a big, long, dirty beard. He had old rags and tatters upon him. He didn't sort of smell too sweet, you know. But Mr. St. John sat down beside him for a few moments. And he talked with him. They talked about the weather and one or two things. And then Mr. St. John began to tell him the story I'm telling you now. He told him of sin. He told him of hell. He told him of Jesus who came and died on that tree at the cross. On that tree at Calvary. How that he bled and died that sinners might live. How that Christ was buried. How that Christ was raised on the third day. And how that Christ is a living Savior. He told him all those wonderful facts. And then eventually he bade him goodbye, and he walked back, and he got to this house, and these royal visitors had come. Well, in course of time, Mr. St. John was invited to meet this king from Europe. And they sat down together on the veranda of that lovely home in the sunshine. And they talked a little. Mr. St. John was a very intelligent man. They talked a little about world affairs and one or two points. But you know, Mr. St. John was a man. He could hardly talk to people too long before he told them about his Savior. And Mr. St. John began to tell this king from Europe now of sin and of hell. And of Christ, and the cross, and the blood, and the grave, and the throne. And when the whole thing was over, and some days had gone by, Mr. St. John moved on to another place. He was telling someone of this very story I'm telling you now, and this is what he said. He said, "You know, as I look back, I had no different story to tell the tramp, the dirty tramp upon the seat, than I had to tell a man who occupied a throne in Europe. I don't know another message like that in the whole world. A message that reaches the guilty. Whether they be intelligent, whether they be royal, whether they be politicians, or whether they be poor, whether they be ignorant, this message is for all humanity. Friend, you can be saved tonight. It's nothing that you have to do. Christ has done it. God has supplied the remedy. Christ has died. You can be saved. Jesus is the door of salvation. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to his own mercy that he saves us." And I tell you, friend, tonight, there are men and women in this hall, and their hearts are happy that their sins are forgiven. And they're going home to heaven because Jesus died for them. But you know what they had to do? They had to acknowledge their sin. And come as a guilty sinner and take Christ and salvation as a gift from God. Are you saved yet? You could be saved on the seat you sit. Jesus said, "I am the door." I am. It's the gospel of divine authority. I am the door. It's the gospel of the greatest simplicity. By me, it's the gospel of exclusive dignity. But if any man, it's the gospel for all humanity. But listen to what it says now. If any man enter in, it's a gospel of personal responsibility. You will never be saved until you take the step. You must enter in. I have entered in. I thank God for the day I entered in. There are men and women in this hall tonight. They have entered in. And their souls are saved. And not one in heaven will be able to say, I'm here because of what I did. All will sing unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins and washed us in his precious blood. It's the gospel tonight, dear friend, of personal responsibility. And as we close the meeting, I want to tell you this. I want you to notice what it says next. He shall be saved. It's the gospel of guaranteed security. This gospel does not say, might be saved. This message from Christ said, he shall be saved. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, H-A-T-H, half everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, not shall be passed, not will be passed, but is passed from death unto life. You can be saved now. And it's the gospel of guaranteed security. We love to sing sometimes, once in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. And tonight those who are saved are sure that their sins are forgiven. They have passed because they've gone in through the door. Friend, tonight, this is the message of the gospel. That Christ has died. That he has been buried. That he has been raised again. And today he sits at God's right hand, a living Savior. Our verse concludes with these words. You may have noticed them. I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's the gospel of spiritual liberty. I hear people sometimes say, I could never keep this message. I could never live like a Christian. God does not ask you to live like a Christian. God asks you to come. And the moment that a person is saved, there is a work of God done in their heart. The Holy Spirit of God comes in to dwell, and he gives you power to live and a joy that you never possessed before. Now, I'm not going to say the Christian life is easy, but I'm going to tell you this, friend. It's very satisfactory. It's the joy that is given. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And tonight, friend, he offers that life to you through faith in the Son of God. We trust that as you've listened to the message, you will consider your need tonight and learn your sinnership before God. And know, dear friend, we want to leave the warning now in your ears that you could go out through those doors and never hear the message again and end in hell, which is never ending. But tonight you could be saved through faith in Christ alone.